1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News,
app.
I'm Rena Roy. More sweltering heat with more than 70 million people in the U.S. under alerts or advisories. ABC's chief meteorologist Ginger Zee has more.
The hottest 15 days recorded by human instruments happened over the last 15 days since July 3rd, and we will not see this end. There's no end in sight. We've got a long summer ahead of us, not just here, not just in Europe, but in Asia. These big domes that keep everybody hot for a very long time.
Former President Trump says he received a letter notifying him that he's a target of special counsel Jack Smith's probe into efforts to overturn the 2020 election. A U.S. Army private is now believed to be in North Korean custody after voluntarily entering North Korea from South Korea. A military source identified him as 23-year-old Travis King, who was supposed to return to the U.S. after serving 2 months in detention in South Korea. Sources say police in Nevada searched a home in the Las Vegas area on Monday in the long-dormant murder case of Tupac Shakur. The rap star was shot and killed in 1996. This is ABC News. Reaction from the White House to a report that says Texas state troopers at the U.S.-Mexico border were ordered to push migrants back into the Rio Grande, including small children and nursing babies. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
We're talking about the bedrock values of who we are as a country and the indecency, the human indecency that we're seeing, potentially, if this is true, is just wrong. It is just completely, completely wrong.
The report by the Houston Chronicle cites an email sent by a Texas trooper. In Chicago, new details into allegations that several police officers engaged in sexual misconduct with at least one underage migrant housed at a police station. Andrea Kirsten is chief administrator of the Civilian Office of Police Accountability.
This investigation remains open and ongoing, but I can confirm that to date, we have not identified any migrants claiming to be the victim of sexual assault or any form of sexual misconduct by CPD members.
Rena Roy, ABC News.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
From the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what Green Bay needs to know. A Green Bay man waving a knife is in custody. The incident took place Tuesday morning before noon on Ashland Avenue, which had to be shut down by police. According to WLUK, the man was arrested without incident and the knife was recovered. James Priestler, the 65-year-old Green Bay man arrested last Friday, faces several drug charges, including having a meth lab in his home. Priestler, known internationally as Uncle Fester, was in court yesterday and was officially charged with multiple felonies. The police raided his home last Friday after months of surveillance and controlled buys. Inside Priestler's home, authorities found, among other substances, cocaine, meth, and meth lab equipment. He is being held on $100,000 cash bond. They can't give it away. Still no winner after last night's Powerball drawing, upping Wednesday's jackpot to $1 billion. That is some good scratch. Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show. On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Because I joined last night and I'm hopeful.
Wow.
I'm hopeful that it is more fun than Twitter has been lately, because Twitter has not been that fun lately.
I do wish it weren't those two.
I know. It's a weird thing to be cheering for Mark Zuckerberg right now.
I'm choosing between the Joker and the Penguin. This is not a winning solution.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattenair. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Because I joined last night and I'm hopeful.
Wow.
I'm hopeful that it is more fun than Twitter has been lately, because Twitter has not been that fun lately.
I do wish it weren't those two.
I know. It's a weird thing to be cheering for Mark Zuckerberg right now.
I'm choosing between the Joker and the Penguin. This is not a winning solution.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattenair. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999. And again, 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown.
Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Alba Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, Tuesday, July 18th. Dom, that's pertinent because it's election day here in the great state of Wisconsin.
Hey, happy Tuesday, Taco Tuesday to you, Crudy. Great to see you. Man, it's an important day. Make sure you go vote in Wisconsin. What district is that, Crudy?
Your district, Dom.
No, it's not mine, man.
Assembly District 24, you're not the former Dan Canodal district.
No, no. He became my state senator because I'm in one of the other two state senate districts.
Well, that'd be assembly districts. Three assembly districts make one Senate district. Dan Canodal's your boy.
Yes,
but just for point of clarity, if you live in Milwaukee's northern suburbs, you might have an election today. Let's clarify slightly. If you live in the northern Milwaukee suburbs, including Germantown, Grafton, Menominee Falls, and Mequon, you may have a special election on Tuesday. Voters in part of Ozaukee, Washington, and Waukesha counties will head to the polls to elect Republican Paul Melotek or Democrat Bob Tatterson to the state assembly. Go, Bob! I mean, really, this is going to be, what, maybe a 10% turnout election?
Right. It won't take much.
The seat became vacant when Republican Dom's boy Dan Canodal won a special election for a seat in the state Senate this spring. That means today, Dom, is a special election in the 24th Assembly District. You can look it up at maps.legis.wisconsin.gov. Your district might have changed after new maps were implemented in 2022, which cut out Glendale and Brown Deer from the 24th Assembly District. The district now leans, wait for it, Dom, just a little more Republican.
Of course it does.
So go vote. Go vote! Crudy, none of those enclaves are in Milwaukee County. I didn't say they were. I'm just reading from the article at the Journal Sentinel. People are already chastising me.
The northern Milwaukee suburbs, I believe, is what it said.
Melotek, by the way, Dom, that's the Republican candidate, has co-owned and operated several businesses, including the Fire Ridge Golf Club in Grafton. He has served on the Ozaukee County Board for 11 years and the Grafton Town Board for 6 years. Melotek told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel in June that he had nothing to do with the blackface incident in 2001 at a costume party organized by the Water Street Tavern and Restaurant Association, which he was president of at the time. I told you at that time, Dom, I didn't really feel like that was a fair criticism. You know, not of this one particular individual, no worse than, you know, the Journal Sentinel should have had for what?
Being a part of it, right?
Being
the bars
a part of
having
the,
right.
The company that owns the Journal Sentinel and this prior machination 22 years ago, you know, also owned WKTI, which was the radio station that held the costume party where somebody in blackface won. Dominic Tatterson is a retired
engineer. Yes, our guy, Tatterson. We want Tatterson. Go vote. Don't just go for vote. Go vote for Bob.
Bob Tatterson is a retired engineer and now invests in and advises startup companies. He is also active in community volunteering and was formerly a volunteer firefighter. Dom, why aren't you a volunteer anything? He describes himself as a moderate Democrat. His priorities include public education, including building a skilled workforce through higher education. He supports abortion access and wants to see common sense gun safety laws like red flag laws, citing a mass shooting a mile away from his house. Both candidates say they support fully funding law enforcement and working to address EMS staffing challenges in their district. That would be the 24th Assembly District. There is a special election today, and that's not Milwaukee County, but it's the northern Milwaukee suburb. So, you know, we split the infinitive. There you go.
Thank you for the clarity. Once again, go vote for Bob, the 24th Assembly District here in the great state of Wisconsin.
Dominic, some tremendously exciting news, and, you know, as if election day, special election day for a vacant assembly seat's not enough.
No, it's not enough. We need more.
I've got more. There's way more. You get the Genzu knives. You get all kinds of news on this show, Dom, including this headline at the Washington Post. Michigan indicts alleged plotter in fake elector scheme. Plotters, plural. Here's what it means. Well, we got Jennifer Rubin's take on that. And then we've also got a journalist we know quite well. His name, Patrick Marley, formerly of the Journal Sentinel. Trump electors who falsely claim he won Michigan. Well, they face felonious charges, Tom. Let's start with Marley's coverage. Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel. She's been on the show a couple times, Dom. You've got family, friends, or somebody that knows Dana Nessel.
Yes. And I did request an interview, but, you know, it was kind of late because this news dropped like 2 hours ago.
AG Nessel, 2 hours, like 25 minutes ago, Dom. Really? This is very, very recent news. Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel, Democrat, announced felony charges Tuesday against 16 Michigan Republicans who falsely claimed to be the state's 2020 presidential electors. The charges, Dom, forgery and other crimes, bringing the first charges in the country against Trump electors as investigations over attempts to overturn those results intensify across the country. Trash call, what are you doing? The charges were brought against former state Republican Party co-chairwoman Michonne Manek and 15 others for submitting official-looking...
Official-looking, yeah, you know, it's close. I mean, it looks like a $100 bill.
Official-looking paperwork to the federal government asserting they were casting the state's electoral votes for Donald Trump. Joe Biden won Michigan, and courts swiftly threw out lawsuits claiming Trump was the true winner of the state. And Dom, the charges stem from a state investigation that is separate from a federal probe by Special Counsel Jack Smith into attempts to reverse the 2020 results. Donald Trump, the former, on Tuesday said he had received a Justice Department letter telling him he's the target of Smith's investigation. We're going to cover that extensively today as well, Dom, and take your comments at 844-967-2789. Is there
Rudy,
more, Dom?
No, there's a little more here. Patrick Marley continues. Of course, after Trump lost, Republicans in seven states that Biden won, Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, New Mexico, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, filed paperwork claiming to be their state's true electors. And Crudy, today on this special election, why do we have a special election in Wisconsin's 24th Assembly District today? Because the last guy that was there, who is now a state senator, my State Senator Dan Knodel. He was one of those very fraudulent electors.
No, not true. Not true. Dan Knodel wrote a letter to the vice president on January 5th.
Oh, yes. On my bad.
Of 2021, asking the vice president not to make a timely certification of the Electoral College. But he was not a false Trump elector. You're thinking of, you know, Scott Graben, the former Dane County Republican chair, and Andrew Hitt, the former Wisconsin Republican chair, Kelly Rowe. There's so many names, Dom. So many malfeasant Republicans
in our state. It's hard to keep track of which angle they took to try to subvert the election. So thank you for the clarity. And who's the Wisconsin Election Commission who's also a fraudulent, let's not forget him, fraudulent elector?
Bob Spindell.
Bob Spindell. How could we possibly forget? If those cats lived in Michigan right now, they would be facing indictment from Dana Nessel. Continuing on from Patrick Marley at the Washington Post, the GOP electors in Michigan are the first to face criminal charges in addition to Smith's
investigation. Not the last.
Prosecutors in Arizona and Georgia are looking into the GOP electors in their states, and civil lawsuits have been filed against electors in Michigan and Wisconsin. Civil. In Michigan, each Trump elector was charged with one count of conspiracy to commit forgery, two counts of forgery, one count of conspiracy to commit uttering and publishing, one count of uttering and publishing, one count of conspiracy to commit election law forgery, and two counts of election law forgery. Nessel investigated the Republican electors after the 2020 election last year, referred their activities to federal prosecutors. After being sworn in for a second term in January, she announced she was reopening her own probe of the GOP electors because she didn't know what federal prosecutors planned to do with the case after having it for a year. At the time, she said the House committee that investigated the January 6, 2021 attack at the Capitol turned up strong evidence to support charging the Trump electors from Michigan. Attorneys for the Trump electors in Michigan did not immediately provide comment on Tuesday, Curry.
Why not?
I don't know. You think they'd be really eager to get up there and prove their innocence. I can't wait to go to court.
Cat got your tongue? Cat got your tongue. Dominic, there is more information, and we'll take a break here in just a minute. But when we come back, we're going to talk about the feds. And in this case, we're talking about what the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, interviewing another Wisconsin election official. Well, this one's on the outs with the GOP because, bless her heart, she stood up to the Trump onslaught. And I'm talking about Megan Wolf. She's the head of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. And they're trying to, what, force a vote on her despite the fact they don't have a quorum. And if they could take a vote on her, they would throw her ass out. That's the Republican plan, Dom. You know, because she's on the wrong side of their perverted fantastical history. You know, the real history in 2020, as everyone knows, Dom, well, it was stolen from Donald Trump. And they're still trying to prove it. And the feds are interviewing Megan Wolf. Folks, we're the Devil's Advocates. I'm on the road again today, Dom. Down here in Racine, Kenosha.
You know, Racine, baby.
Racine. I am in the WRJN back studios back here. If you watch me on the visual product, you know, the YouTubes or wherever, you'd see I'm actually wearing a suit today. I'm here for business, man.
You got a tie on, man. I don't recognize you, Curdy. Where's the badger hat?
It's in the car. I've got it. Okay. But I have dressy clothes on. I'm here doing business, man. We are here representing this radio station is the most powerful sports station perhaps in the history of the world. We got the Packers. We got the Badgers. We got the Bucks. We got the Brewers in 2024, and we got high school game of the week rolling out, and we're seeing on Fridays. Man, you're going to love it here. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. Crudy, live in Racine.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., the Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, the Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, the Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, the Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
I'm
So much waiting for me. Yeah, I wanna go outside. I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Partly cloudy skies tonight with a low of 61. Southerly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. A blend of clouds and sun again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 82. Scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 64, mainly cloudy. Upper 70s Thursday and Friday with a chance for scattered storms Thursday. Another look at the short range. We should dip down to around 61 tonight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 79.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Starting at 6 AM, the Mayor and Mino.
Then at 8, the Earl Ingram Show.
On WGBW.
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about. The Devil's Advocate.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates. Radio show phone lines are open. Join us, 844-967 2789.
Dominic, the breaking news of the moment. Felonious charges in the state of Michigan against the false Trump electors. And now that we've, you know, set some of the story, let's get some of the opinion. Jennifer Rubin, also the Washington Post. Michigan indicts alleged plotters and fake elector scheme. Here's what it means. Well, I'm having a pretty good Tuesday. That's what that
I mean.
Means.
You know, it's been a long time coming. Come on, Crew. We bitch about this every single day. I mean, it was Wisconsin elective. It's fraud. I mean, we were literally on this yesterday and today. I mean, seemingly out of nowhere, AG Nestle from Michigan is bringing down the hammer. Thank you, sister.
As Jennifer Rubin describes it, Michigan Attorney General Dana Nestle, in a stunning development on Tuesday, filed 8 criminal charges against the 16 Republicans in her state who submitted a phony slate of electors in hopes of flipping the state from Joe Biden to Donald Trump, you know, in the old 2020 presidential, Dom. The charges included forgery, conspiracy to commit forgery, and conspiracy to commit election forgery, each carrying a potential penalty of 5 to 14 years in prison. Little aside, Dom. If I recall correctly, it wasn't just the Wisconsin fake electors that had not been delivered to the vice president. I thought it was also the Michigan fake electors.
I believe.
Wonder if there's any Wisconsin electeds that are perhaps affected by the state charges, Tom, in the state of Michigan. Would it still be a crime in the state of Michigan for a Wisconsin elected to deliver the Michigan false elector slips to the vice president?
I mean, you would think if you're part of the conspiracy, if you're carrying these, what, the forged documents, right? The election forgery documents, if you're part of that, if you touch that and these folks are guilty of that, I think that makes you kind of part of it.
Dominic, as we've talked about, Nestle's charges are the first criminal charges involving the phony elector scheme. And what could happen, Dom? What could happen? The charges could put these people in jail for 5 to 14 years. I hope it's closer to 14, Tom.
Nestle's charges are the first criminal cases involving the phony elector scheme that preceded the January 6, 2021 riot aimed at stopping the peaceful transfer of power to the 2020 election winner. What, you folks got a problem with that? The Michigan Attorney General did not reach beyond the state to indict Trump or his aide for engineering the scheme. But in Georgia, Fulton County District, Fani Willis is investigating Trump's attempt to compel state officials to find enough votes. That's the district attorney, Willis. After a magistrate in Ingham County, Michigan, signed off on the charges on Tuesday, Nestle released a video explaining her action. The 16 defendants and or their attorneys were then notified, and defendants were given a week to turn themselves in or face arrest.
Let's go round them up. You know, like, you remember when Cops was a TV show?
Yeah.
And when the cops were coming for you when you were hearing the bad boy music? You know, what's the chance that most of the fake Trump electors from Michigan are going to go running out of their house with no T-shirts on? You know what I mean? Like, bare-chested. That's always the way. When there was a foot chase, that guy wasn't wearing a T-shirt. Or any shirt.
Or barely wearing pants. Curdy, Rubin continues to write in her opinion piece at the Post. Nestle's move ahead of the possible January 6th related indictments by the Justice Department Special Counsel Jack Smith was a bold one, but also reflected considerable restraint. She left Smith plenty of latitude to proceed against Trump, his lawyers, and top aides. In that sense, Nestle struck a balance between prosecuting possible violations of state law and avoiding interfering with a federal investigation. She had previously attempted to refer the Michigan electors case to the Justice Department, but in the absence of federal action, she proceeded on her own. Nestle did not coordinate with either Jack Smith or other state attorneys general before her filing case. Before filing her case, her closely guarded move might have taken Smith by surprise. It took me by surprise, Crudy. The allegations detailed in Nestle's affidavit are compelling. The Republican fake electors met clandestinely at GOP headquarters, were not allowed to take their phones, and took an oath of secrecy. An oath of secrecy? The Republicans falsely attested that they had met in the legislature and were duly organized, and that they had preceded in the manner provided by law. That phony slate was then submitted to the U.S. Senate and to the National Archives. All of this followed a November 20, 2020 meeting at the White House where Trump invited Michigan Republican legislators to discuss overturning the election. Remember that? It was kind of weird when that was all going down. Michigan State Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirky and Michigan House Leader Lee Chatfield issued a statement after the meeting, quote, "We have not yet been made aware of any information that would change the outcome of the election in Michigan, and as legislative leaders, we will follow the law and follow the normal process regarding Michigan's electors. The phony electors had other ideas."
Apparently they did. Criminally. Conspiratorial other ideas.
So yes, there's more to this piece, Jennifer Rubin. We put it up on the Devil's Advocates Facebook page. Go check it out there. But some state action. This is encouraging. It's timely. And there's a lot more to come.
Dominic, there is a little bit more that we can report in Michigan, according to the testimony of Laura Cox, the former leader of Michigan's Republican Party, an individual who claimed he was working with the Trump campaign, was coordinating with so-called electors. These fraudulent electors had a plan which Cox described as insane and inappropriate to meet the day before the Electoral College was scheduled to meet and hide in Michigan's Capitol building overnight so they could later bolster their claim that their electoral ballot certificates were legitimate because they had fulfilled the requirement under Michigan law that the electoral votes be cast in that building. But they didn't let him in the building, Dom. Do you recall how that all played out?
Yeah, I do.
They showed up too late for the party. Please let us in. Nope.
The police came to the door and said, we're the electors. And the cops like, no, they're inside.
Folks, we're the Devil's Advocates. Come back with us. Going to have a little fun. I'm broadcasting from WRJN, Racine, Kenosha, 1400 AM, 99.9 FM, 98.1 FM. And you can always join us. The phone lines, they're open toll free for you. 844-967-2789.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct
on WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Rena Roy. More sweltering heat with more than 70 million people in the U.S. under alerts or advisories. ABC's chief meteorologist Ginger Z has more.
The hottest 15 days recorded by human instruments happened over the last 15 days since July 3rd, and we will not see this end. There's no end in sight. We've got a long summer ahead of us, not just here, not just in Europe, but in Asia. These big domes that keep everybody hot for a very long time.
Former President Trump says he received a letter notifying him that he's a target of special counsel dismantle Jack Smith's probe into efforts to overturn the 2020 election. A U.S. Army private is now believed to be in North Korean custody after voluntarily entering North Korea from South Korea. A military source identified him as 23-year-old Travis King, who was supposed to return to the U.S. after serving 2 months in detention in South Korea. Sources say police in Nevada searched a home in the Las Vegas area on Monday in the long-dormant murder case of Tupac Shakur. The rap star was shot and killed in 1996. This is ABC News.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know.
A 16-year-old charged with first-degree reckless homicide will be tried in adult court. Authorities say 16-year-old Melia Sotelo is responsible for the overdose death of an 18-year-old last December after selling him what turned out to be fentanyl. She is also being called the largest drug dealer in Brown County schools. Yesterday, a judge rejected a request by defense attorneys to have the case moved to juvenile court. Green Bay is on a good roll, literally. Recently ranked America's best small town to live in, it also has the best drivers. That is according to Consumer Affairs. Their study used data from the Department of Transportation, including fatalities from drunk driving and speeding deaths. This is actually remarkable since Consumer Affairs also said Wisconsin is in the top five for worst roads. They can't give it away. Still no winner after last night's Powerball drawing, upping Wednesday's jackpot to $1 billion. That is some good scratch. Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
Living happily ever after isn't always a reality. If you're over 50 and are considering divorce, attorney Andrea Gage with the Everson Law Firm can provide the guidance you need. Andrea focuses on silver divorces, the kind that get more complicated over time and present unique challenges. A family, multiple properties, significant assets. Andrea and the team at Everson Law have the experience to protect your interests. Call Everson Law to set up an appointment with Andrea today. It's never too late to be happy. Everson Law, 920-435-3734.
Attention, Wisconsin veterans.
Hello, I'm Tony Evers, the governor of Wisconsin. If you are a veteran struggling to pay for rent, utilities, or other life-sustaining services, I want you to know that the Veterans Rental Assistance Program is here to help. You have already made a most noble sacrifice. You shouldn't have to continue doing so. We are here to support you. The Veterans Rental Assistance Program was created by and for people living in Wisconsin, with benefit approvals being issued to veterans in just days, not months. It's never easy to ask for assistance, but rest assured, we're here to help. You've always been there for us. We want you to know that we're here for you. Call 833-WISBRAP. That's 833-947-8727. Or visit VRAPWI.com. On behalf of the state of Wisconsin, thank you.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It's a special election, at least if you live in 8024 here in the great state of Wisconsin. Also, breaking news out of the great state of Michigan. AG Dana Nessel has filed criminal felonious charges, forgery, conspiracy to commit forgery against 16 false Trump electors.
And conspiracy to commit election forgery. Lots of forgery going on here with these fraudulent electors.
Here's what Jennifer Rubin had to say over at the Washington Post. What Nessel did not do with the indictments on Tuesday was as noteworthy as what she did do. Far from launching what could be attacked as a witch hunt. You know, who would call it a witch hunt, Tom? She left Trump entirely out of the charges. It didn't conjure up exotic charges such as state racketeer influenced and corrupt organizations acts, you know, RICO. We hear Jim Santel talking about RICO violations. She stuck to specific counts that are regularly prosecuted in state law. Had she not taken this action, she would have been hard pressed to pursue future cases involving fraudulent documents submitted to the state or election chicanery. And the Michigan Attorney General's action intensifies. Do you feel the pressure? Jack Smith intensifies pressure on Smith to file his January 6th case on Tuesday. Dom, we've mentioned this a few times, but for those joining us a little bit late, on Tuesday, Donald Trump revealed he had received a Target letter, Dom, and that's not the kind from the store with the red dot. A Target letter.
No, it was not the department store.
Suggesting his indictment is near. And that's what I've been waiting for the whole time. Not some paperwork crimes, Mar-a-Lago.
Trump, of course, freaking out. On Sunday, I mean, a lot of people took notice. Trump was tweeting out or truthing out about, and he miswrote, the Insurrection Act, right? Instead of the other one he was actually charged with. It might be the Espionage Act. So he deleted it, but this was on Sunday. So he knew, presumably, I think, Donald Trump projects all the time. So it seemed like he knew that this was coming. Of course, it comes out today that he did know, in fact, on Sunday.
Dominic Rubin continues to write, unless he wants at least, Jack Smith, this is, she's referencing, unless Smith wants at least one state prosecutor to proceed before him, he will need to move expeditiously. Moreover, Dana Nessel's charges, again, Michigan AG, also might light a fire under other state attorney generals, especially in Arizona, writes Rubin. I question the one here in the state of Wisconsin, Dom. She encourages Arizona to pursue appropriate state law charges involving the phony electors in their states. It is also noteworthy, Rubin writes, that presidential pardons cannot affect state court convictions. That's the sweetest part of all, Dom.
Rudy Rubin concludes, Nessel has upheld her oath to hold accountable those who might have broken the law and endangered democracy. Now the question is, will prosecutors step up and move expeditiously enough to see a verdict before the 2024 presidential election? Jennifer
step
Rubin.
Step up.
Washington
Hurry
Post.
Up. What was the word we were bantering about yesterday? Moving with alacrity.
Alacrity, yes.
Dana Nessel moved with alacrity. Let's see if it will move through the courts with alacrity. But Tom, this has to be troubling news if you're a, let's say a false Trump elector from the state of Wisconsin or some other state like Arizona. I hope, Dom, there's a few sweating here. A few have speculated about Bob Spindell. You know Bob Spindell, the false Trump elector from the state of Wisconsin. The exuberant about the fact that they might have suppressed some Black and Latino votes in Milwaukee, Bob Spindell. Well, here are a few of the comments we're getting on the text line, Dom. The new, shiny new text line on the Civic Media app. Jeff asked if Michigan AG is going to send some, let's just say, cojones over this way to Josh Call. And then here's the one, a couple about Spindell. I wonder how Spindell would fare for the weekend in the Milwaukee House of Corrections.
Not well.
You think he'd lose his mattress, Dom?
I know he would.
Here's another one. I'm going to need the visual of Spindell and his undies jumping over the fence in someone's backyard. Come on, Cole. Let's get it. Like they always did in the Bad Boys, the Cops TV show. And then, of course, to the Cops theme song, of course. And one more. In honor, of those esteemed fake electors that are being called to account in Michigan, we got musical requests for them, Tom. How about, that's the sound of the men working on the chain.
Gang. 844-967-2789. Maybe Anastasia can dig something up for her. Let's get some callers in. Ellie from Madison, you are up. Welcome, Ellie. What do you got for us today?
Hi. How you doing? Thank you.
Great.
For
how you doing?
I have to say to you, thank you so much for all that information, because now we know who to vote for and who not to. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're up. Okay. So there's a couple of things that happened on the show. Perhaps you can tell me if you want to talk about this or not, but I have a couple of questions. First of all, Al Johnson in the 20s somehow permitted. He was permitted to paint his face black, so black people will be on the movie. He was helping them out, really.
I'm sorry, Ellie. I'm not clear. What are you saying? You're talking about Ron Johnson, the senator from Wisconsin?
No. Al Johnson.
Okay.
Al Johnson was an actor that was white that painted.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Okay.
So Al Johnson helped the black people or the African American people get into the movies because there were none. So he did that for them. Now.
I'm not going to follow this tangent down this rabbit hole, Dom, because I think it's factually incorrect. Al Jolson, maybe? I'm not clear who Ellie refers to, but if I take this to where I think she's taking it to, it sounds a little like a racist diatribe. I mean, what, the black people should thank the white people for doing the blackface? They cleared the way? They set the standard for them? I think that would be an unpalatable circumstance for many, Dom. So let's move on.
844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC, you are up. Welcome. What are your thoughts today?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, hey, guys. And thanks for playing the Chain Gang song. I forgot to attach my name to that. But wouldn't Canodo's participation in sending that letter asking for a delay tie him into the fake electors thing? Because I think... there's more than just the guys that were the fake electors. There's other people that were in on the plot.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
For my money, they got to go after every single one of the SOBs. I mean, you've got to pin all their ears back and make them pay the price. Because Canodo said, that was, a purely a nationwide conspiracy on these guys' part, too. Let's delay it. Let's see if Pence will do this. Let's encourage sedition. And that's how you have to look at it. I mean,
thank you for that. I think that's a great point. By the actions in and of themselves that Knodel and the other signers of that letter to Mike Pence, if taken in a vacuum, might just seem, they have the right to ask for a delay. They can do that. But if you step back and you look at, that's part of one of the spokes in the conspiracy. Well, then perhaps maybe they should go. I mean, I don't know how that all works, but I think it's an intriguing question that we should get some really smart lawyers to answer for us. If you are part of a criminal conspiracy, but your part in and of itself may not be illegal, but the entire conspiracy is illegal, are you then, can you be charged? Great points, Mark. I look forward to finding out the answers to that. 844-967-2789.
I'm just reading a little bit. I think the prior caller referenced Al Jolson, who performed in blackface, a white performer, vaudevillian. Al Jolson's own future, and I am reading a entry from the Jim Crow Museum, Dom. Al Jolson's own future would be far more problematic. A half century after his death, October 23rd, 1950, one expects few memorials and public events to commemorate it. The man who was once the most popular entertainer in America certainly lives on in the public imagination, but increasingly as an egregious symbol of political incorrectness. Jolson was no saint, as all but his most ardent defenders are quick to admit. Even during his lifetime, he was depreciated for a host of vices, from selfishness to overweening pride. But with the passing years, these diminish in comparison to his chief transgression, his persistent use of Burt Cork makeup, commonly known as blackface. I don't think he was any sort of hero. I would just point that out to the prior caller. That's why we moved on, Tom.
Well, thank you for clarifying that. Let's move on. 844-967-2789. Who's your Bob? We'll get you in this segment. Welcome, Bob. What are your thoughts today?
Hey, Bob.
Hey boys, how are you?
Awesome.
I've got two thoughts. One, Al Jolson, really? That happened in the 20s. In 1939, Butterfly McQueen won an Oscar for Gone with the Wind, and she was forced to sit alone because they didn't want any white people sitting with her. Yeah, he did a great job for black folk coming into the movie. Second point.
I don't know nothing about birthing no babies. She won an Oscar for that performance, right?
That wasn't her.
I'm sorry, then.
Mammy was the one that won the Oscar.
My apologies. I should defer these questions to someone with more encyclopedic knowledge of oldie blackface movies and such. But I defer to you. Give us more. Edify us.
Anyways, point number two. The song you need is I Fought the Law and the Law Won.
I think that's an apt song. I like The Clash. The Clash is a good version of that song. 844-967-2789.
Dominic, do you think that this will trigger a cascade of charges against Republicans? Because this was a big damn conspiracy, man. This was way bigger than Donald Trump and John Eastman and Jeffrey Clark. It involved Congress people. It involved state electeds. It involved party people, at least here in the state of Wisconsin. I mean, when you look at the false Trump electors from here in the state, damn near every single one of them is a establishment Republican Party person. These weren't bums off the street. These were the best and brightest the Republican Party had to offer, air quotes.
Didn't the GOP Attorneys General group, weren't they also part of like a funding mechanism for some of these? The RAG?
There has been some question of why the Republican Attorney General's Association would be, what, encouraging people to show up and for a wild event in D.C.?
I would have to
verify because I've just been wrong about a black Oscar winner, Dom. So.
Right.
I would have to, you know, make sure I had my facts right. Try to get it right here.
Well, we want to get it right. And there are so many moving parts. But again, if we look at each one individually, you know, maybe not a big deal. You can write it off. It's just a, you know, circumstance. It's happenstance. It's coincidence. But it was, Curdy. It was a grand conspiracy. It was months in the making. It involved everybody. Not everybody, lots and lots of the activist types, and hell, even the state, Wisconsin's own senior senator, Ron Johnson. He touched these things too. And his story has evolved since it happened.
Now, I'm not clear that Ron could be charged with state charges in Michigan, not having committed a crime in Michigan, although I suspect his actions in another jurisdiction may have broken state and federal crimes. You know, our buddy Mark's going to call back and say, 14th Amendment, take them all off the ballot. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. 844-967-2789. Join us. I've got to work right here. That's the sound of the men working on the chain. Gang.
That's the sound of the men. Attention, Wisconsin veterans.
Hello, I'm Tony Evers, the governor of Wisconsin. If you are a veteran struggling to pay for rent, utilities, or other life-sustaining services, I want you to know that the Veterans Rental Assistance Program is here to help. You have already made a most noble sacrifice. You shouldn't have to continue doing so. We are here to support you. The Veterans Rental Assistance Program was created by and for people living in Wisconsin, with benefit approvals being issued to veterans in just days, not months. It's never easy to ask for assistance, but rest assured, we're here to help. You've always been there for us. We want you to know that we're here for you. Call 833-WISVRAP. That's 833-947-8727. Or visit VRAPWI.com. On behalf of the state of Wisconsin, thank you.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows dip down to about 61 tonight under partly cloudy skies, southerly winds, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 82. Mainly cloudy tomorrow night. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows dip down to about 64. Upper 70s Thursday and Friday with a chance for scattered storms Thursday. Another look at the short range. We should dip down to around 61 tonight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 79.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude.
6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show
on WGBW.
The Devil's Advocates know how to kick ass and chew bubblegum, and we're all out of bubblegum.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open. You can join us on the lines at 844-967-2789. Crudy, I did find an article talking about this Republican attorney general. This dated back on the Hill from, April of 2021.
The Republican Attorney General's Association. You're talking about the complicit in the January 6th group, but please continue.
Yeah, let's throw this one on there, because I think this is very interesting, if nothing else. The chairman of the top outside group dedicated to elected Republican attorneys general has resigned from his position, again, April 21, in the wake of a show of force by rivals from other states. Georgia Attorney General Chris Carr stepped down as chairman of the Republican Attorneys General Association, citing a significant difference of opinion with their group's strategic direction. He's the latest in a string of departures from the organization. Carr cited the rally, of course, the rally, January 6th insurrection, which a nonprofit arm of the RAGA promoted in a robocall to supporters, encouraged them to attend in the days leading up to January 6th. The robocall went out without the knowledge of Carr or other top attorneys general involved in the group after substantial debate among staffers about whether it was appropriate for a group that backs law enforcement executives to promote a rally based on lies about the 2020 elections. At 1 p.m., we will march to the Capitol building and call on Congress to stop the steal, said the robocall. We're hoping patriots like you will join us to continue the fight to protect the integrity of our elections. The Rule of Law Defense Fund, which paid for the robocall, was listed a participant in the rally that preceded the insurrection. In a statement at the time, Piper insisted his organization played no role in planning or sponsoring the event, but sources who were privy to internal emails said Piper was present at a January 5th meeting in which top Trump administration officials planned the rally. So anyway, Republican Attorneys General Association.
What was the other part? The ironically named the Rule of Law Association.
I mean, isn't that ironic? The nonprofit arm. I mean, that's how they do it, right? The Rule of Law Defense Fund, which paid for the robocall, telling you people to go, you know, show up and help stop the steal. And these are Republican attorneys general. Aren't you supposed to, I don't know, enforce the law?
Do you ever meet Brad Schimmel? You remember the last RAG guy in Wisconsin? Yeah. Walker's guy? I mean, he was pretty bad, Tom.
Oh, my God. 844-967-2789. Dave, put some callers in from Duluth. You are up. Welcome, Dave. What do you got for us?
Dave, how you doing, fella?
I'm doing very well, gentlemen. Can you hear me okay?
No, not great,
a little louder. Speak, think loud thoughts.
That's a good one. Hey, a couple of things. One, you know, it's so interesting that the right is saying, "Oh, it was the Antifa people that were the agent provocateurs of the January 6th insurrection." And well, as you well know, many people in the Antifa movement, are not of white pigmentation; they're of other colors. And had it actually been them, you know, they would have lined up all the Washington, D.C. buses and people on paddy wagons for them that day. And instead, they didn't do that with the people with the white pigmentation that were actively doing an insurrection.
Well, I mean, Dave, isn't that the only reason they got away with it? They were Trump supporters, of course. And honestly, with the exception of the one shooting death, and of course there were other deaths that were a result of the insurrection, I'm really surprised more people didn't get shot and killed. But again, what did Ron Johnson say? Hell, if that would have been BLM, then it would have been worried. You would have been worried then. I mean, you see the ass beating these folks were bringing down on these federal agents, you law and order Republicans. And then you have the nerve to say, oh, I saw some tape and they stayed within the velvet ropes. I mean, yeah, everything's great until it's not, man. The Titanic was a great ship until it went down. Hell, going down to visit was a great idea until it implodes. I mean, you kidding me? Look, go to the end of the movie, man. The first half of Goodfellas. Fantastic. Doesn't end up great for everybody.
Not everyone. You can't get the good spaghetti. It's like egg noodles and ketchup, man.
Ketchup.
We got some love here down in Racine, Kenosha land. Dom, I'm broadcasting from WRJN today. And Mary from Burlington tells us, how exciting, Crudy, that you are broadcasting from WRJN. I mean, this historic station is like a legend, Dom. 97 years on the air.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And today is the best broadcast ever. Isn't that crazy?
It sure is. You're welcome.
Here's what Mary tells me. Listening to you on WRJN on Civic Media from Wheatland, Wisconsin, located in the far west area in Kenosha County. I'm a huge and high fan. Huge and high. I like it. And a daily listener. Love Mary. Mary, love you back. And what's this one say? Dom's on the trail. Did Gableman and Fitzy hook up Rojo in a twisted triangle of man love? Some people say they're asking. I don't quite understand all of that, but the implication. I like where they're going there.
we love the thought. Crudy, Tom, let's throw this. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. I was going to throw out the Journal Sentinel here, man. What did you got?
Well, I was going to mention Give Blood, Civic Pints, but you go.
Oh, we can do it the next hour, man. We can remind everybody. I saw Jorge was on the Giving Blood trail. Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Molly Beck reporting, Wisconsin's top election official was interviewed in April by federal authorities probing Trump's effort to subvert the outcome of the 2020 election.
No wonder they want Megan Wolf out.
Administrator Megan Wolf is at least the third election official in this battleground state to be interviewed by special counsel Jack Smith team about the last presidential election. Wolf's interview with the U.S. Department of Justice and FBI was conducted around the same time the FBI and federal investigators working for Smith interviewed the top election officials in Madison and Milwaukee. Here's a quote. In April of 2023, the U.S. Department of Justice Special Counsel Jack Smith subpoenaed Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf to be interviewed in the inquiry regarding the events surrounding January 6, 2021, WC spokesman Riley Vetterkind said in a statement. Administrator Wolf cooperated with the subpoena and appeared in person before DOJ and Federal Bureau of Investigation officials in April. Due to this being an ongoing federal investigation, we are unable to provide further information. Well, thank you, Riley Vetterkind. We can't talk about it all, but now that's what? Megan Wolf and the election of administrators in Dane County and Milwaukee County.
Dumbna can't talk about Fight Club or federal subpoenas or future indictments, but indictments that have ripened like the ones in Michigan, we can talk about those all afternoon. Dana Nessel, my new hero. Hope we're yours. Come back the Happier Happy Hour, the Tuesday edition. I thought about tacos for lunch. Went with a fajita salad. Local joint, right here in Racine.
Oh, salad. That's good.
And cited that up with the jalapeno poppers. Come back with us. It'll be a poppin' Happier Happy Hour. Crudy, broadcasted live, Racine, WRJN. Come back with us.
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.